This evening we heard from very challenging teachings from Jesus Christ. Now let's just kind of walk through it. And always remember that Jesus wants the best for us. Right? So right off the top, Jesus wants us not to just following Allah, but to be excellent, to be purified, to be growing up, to be adults, and eventually we pray to get to heaven. So, we heard several of his commandments today. They're actually in the Ten Commandments. Some of the most important laws in the history of the world. And as the Jewish family of God, the Jewish culture, the Judeo culture, they actually had 613 laws that they were following. In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's where their laws were. They called it the Torah. Now, let's remind ourselves that Jesus had not yet come to the earth. So who do they think taught them that law? Well, God, through Moses. So they went and followed God in his law for his family for many, many centuries. And all of a sudden, about 0 AD, Jesus Christ enters the stage. And I absolutely love this part, although how hard it is, when he taught at the Good Samaritan, or at the Mount on the Sermon. Because there is something crucial that we have to know. All right, first he said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." He wasn't coming just to flip over the laws, but to make them better or harder. And you heard something happening over and over and over about the laws that the Jewish people were following. You have heard that it was said. Several times. You have heard that it was said. Who is speaking in that? God. So, what did Jesus say right after that? You have heard that it was said, but I say to you, dot, dot, dot. Now, if you're a person in the first century of Judaism, Christianity, and you're hearing somebody speaking the law of God, which no one else can say to change it, is either somebody that are crazy or nuts or is blaspheming God himself. Or they believed that Jesus Christ actually was God. Now, that's a huge different position. Now, let's look through quickly the commandments that Jesus was talking about on the Sermon on the Mount. I have heard before, dot, 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 you shall not kill. Fifth commandment, right? Do not kill. You might know already that we have things that we can look into our own hearts that is more important, if you will, than just killing. Good for you. I'm guessing all of us here has not killed someone or came in this morning, you know, you murdered somebody and you came to Mass tonight. I'm guessing you didn't. You'd probably be in jail if you did. But what else could we have done today? What does Jesus say? But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. All right, he's saying, all right, good, good, good. You did not kill someone today. But you might have been angry. And me as God, as his son, is to teach you to grow into excellence. So if you have that angerness in your heart, whether it's your brother or sister, your mom and dad, And that would be part of the fourth and fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. How do you grow with that? How do you bring that angerness to Jesus in your prayers? How can you be forgiven quickly by going to confession? How can you take time maybe to step away from a situation where you're angry and just breathe so you can get through that so you're not showing that angerness? Again, it's a higher goal for him because he wants us to be better, not worse. The second, you could talk about the sixth commandment or the ninth. You shall not commit adultery. All right? And again, that would be like saying today, you have committed adultery. That's a sin. If a husband or wife had an affair, if you will, that would be a part of the Ten Commandments, a sin. And Jesus even makes that harder. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman or a man with lust has already committed adultery within your heart. Think of our society now. How have we had lust? Or on the internet? Or on television? Or a movie? Or a concert? How have we done something in our heart or our eyes or our minds that are sinful? Even though we haven't had a physical adultery. And the same thing, how do we get purified from that? And then I think it's the hardest part for me as well as many of you, several. It was also said, again, the law, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife or husband, now this is very, very important on this part, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery or him. And whoever marries a divorced woman or man commits adultery. Now that's divorce and remarriage. It's a huge thing in our conversation today. We're not able to receive communion, for instance, or going to confession. But who do we follow here? And Jesus said this as God. How do we get through of that? Well, first we pray. We pray for others that we know are in that position. And we love them. We never point at other people as sinners. We pray for them. And that's why we have what we call the annulment process. If it wasn't at the beginning a marriage, it's a sacrament. And I've very, very rarely said about this at Mass. But I've been so proud of many people in our parish that have sought and sought that way, that prophet almost of the annulment process. And then be remarried in a sacramental marriage. That shows Jesus' love. And if you are in that place, know of God's love and mercy for you. He's still looking for the goodness. And even if you can't commit or you can't receive communion or confession, he will give you grace because you're following what he wants you to do. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Another of our commandments. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. He wants us not for mediocrity, but excellence. Not sinners, but someday saints. With our integrity, our salvation, our excellence, and grace, make us renewed.